Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
All right, we're back. Another episode of Peak Speak. I'm here today with a much better JS initial than John Sheridan. I've got Jamie Smith with me. Say hello to all the people.
Hello. Hello to the millions and millions of followers here.
That's right. That's right. Hi, Mom. So we've had you on before, Jamie, but last time we had the big gorilla and me and you were really just the banana girls on the show. So this one's all about you and you can be the gorilla today.
Thanks.
We'll start with a bit of an intro because I think we introduced you last time, but it was really, really quite brief. It was more talking about what you and Will were doing over there in the States. So
yeah.
Tell the people who you are and what you do and where you've come from.
No worries. It's very easy to find yourself in Will's shadow. So I was very happy to just be sitting back there. He was taking the heat of everything. But my name is Jamie Smith. I own Melbourne Strength Culture, which is a powerlifting and strength training gym in Melbourne in the southeast in Moorabbin. We've been around for about nearly four years now. So we're just starting to sort of break out and get a little bit more attention, which is cool. And we're just, powerlifting strength coach. And I also do a little bit of education-based stuff and just business development-based stuff. Obviously, as a gym owner, you sort of need to have those strings to expand the business past just training, because at some point, training is a commodity. Not a commodity. What's it called? It's like...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Training for most people is it's an expense that it's up and down. It goes up and down with the economy. People come and go all the time. So you need to add a few strings to your bow I don't know where that word's going. Luxury. There's the fucking word.
There we go.
Yeah. Training is a luxury. So I've realized that for businesses to succeed in this industry, you probably need to expand past the single string, which is just your coaching. So that's where my brain is sort of directing strength culture now, which has been a cool experience over the last, particularly the last 12 months, but before that a little bit as well, some other stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And like, I mean, I don't know you particularly well. I've only had the privilege of hanging out with you once over in the States there. But I've seen you around the chops in terms of on Instagram and on Facebook and followed what you've been doing for ages. And to see that evolution has been really cool. And it's kind of exciting to see where strength culture is going to go in the future. I can only imagine it's just going to keep blowing up and get bigger and bigger, right?
That's the plan. That is the plan.
Can you tell us all a little bit about your background? Like, how did you fall into all this strength training stuff? And how did it all start for you?
Yeah, so it was a pretty typical introduction to personal training. I was somewhat good at training as a teen. I enjoyed training. I got some pretty decent results early. I built some muscle. I got a bit stronger than everyone else at school. So I was like, all right, this is cool. And then at the end of year 12, I obviously got pushed into a university degree, because that's just what society does with everybody. Just funnel everyone into university. If you don't go to university, you're a failure. So I went and did some business related stuff. And I lasted 6 months. I failed my accounting exam and then I quit university. And then I went home and told my parents, I just quit university. My parents are pretty supportive, but mum was like, oh, look, well, if you're not going to be studying and you're not going to be working full time, I'm going to charge your rent and I'm going to put the pressure on you to actually do something with yourself. So I was like, all right, well, I like this training thing. I've got a pretty extroverted personality and I like dealing with people. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll just try personal training. So I did my certs through the cereal box like everyone else. And then I just went through as a personal trainer for a couple of years and then started to transition into strength and conditioning, field-based sports stuff more so. So that's my background. I was I worked through the ranks of Australian football, AFL. Down here in Melbourne, I worked at a VFL club. I got up to an AFL club. And it just wasn't for me at that time. So I was still building my personal training business alongside that, and it was going well. I kind of realized that Gen Pop wasn't inspiring me after about 3 or 4 years in that sort of industry. So I looked into American internships. I had heard a lot about their collegiate system, and I sort of wanted to eventually get into there with my team-based sport background. So I ended up at Cressy Sports Performance with Eric Cressy and his team there in Boston, which was incredible. And I did 6 months there, and I did a little stint with IFAST, which is Mike Robinson and Bill Hartman as well. Just a 2 week stint on the back end of my internship with Cressy. And I met some really good people there that just inspired me to, and this is sort of what I want to create with strength culture. It's no secret here that I respect Cressy, not just from a professional individual standpoint, but his whole business model is just, to me, it's the gold standard of what anybody can achieve in strength and conditioning. Just swap out the baseball niche with whatever niche you want to target, and you should be able to at least follow his footsteps and find a pretty successful path for yourself. So that's sort of what I'm doing here with strength culture. I just sort of, with what I saw over there and the people that were in his business and the way that just the consistent support with all from like the top, not top down, but it's sort of like a dispersed management system of just, it was just really, really cool. So that's what I'm trying to build here now with strength culture. And obviously 4 years in, I like to think we're doing pretty well. It's going well. It's been tough, but I think any small business progress is going to have those periods. But I think as a whole, yeah, we're doing pretty well here at strength culture now, which is awesome, because I think we're starting to make a little bit of a mark on at least powerlifting, but strength training as a whole in Australia. We seem to be, as I said, broke past that sort of like, all right, these guys are actually somewhat okay at this thing, which is for cool. Sure. It's a good feeling. Yeah.
Definitely are. And how many people have you got working alongside you or underneath you there at Strength Culture now?
So we're a team of four. There's myself and Charlie. Charlie's been with me from day one, and I'd be absolutely ruined without him. So him and myself started in July 2016, on the financial year, July 1st, which is cool for our money, tax and stuff. It's a lot easier to handle. But the business now has four people. So Charlie and myself are full-time, and then we have two part-time coaches. They're nearing on full-time now. Jamie Buziotis is our head of strength and conditioning. So he does he spearheads the athletic development stuff. And then we have Didier, who's come through our internship program, who is sort of like a hybrid strength powerlifting coach right now. But eventually, I think he'll just turn into a full-blown powerlifting coach as well, because it just the way we're going and the niche that we want to take over is powerlifting. And I'd say 50% of our leads are powerlifting leads, so it's only a matter of time. But between definitely Charlie and Didier will be full-time powerlifting coaches, and then myself and Jamie B will be a little bit more hybrid, sort of filling the holes of what we need to fill and building other systems. So,
yeah, cool. Yeah. And you know, one thing that I learned about you pretty early on, and one thing that caught my eye, had me starting to pay attention to what you guys were doing there, is the PRI stuff. When did you fall into all of that, and what is it for the people who don't know?
Yeah. PRI is, it's like a continued education course. It's one of those ones where you can go there really fast, drink all the Kool-Aid, and realize that you don't know anything in your life, and you're not sure how you're actually living because you're twisted and your pelvis is rotated to the right and your ribcage is rotated to the left. But it's a continued education course. It's centered around sort of breathing as the main intervention. But when you actually go through the courses, it makes a whole lot of sense why they use breathing. It's more so just isometric or static positions and drilling sensory input into your brain, like telling your body as quickly as with as much information of certain positions you want to hold and be able to control. It's really, really, it's been really influential for our whole training model, which is something that is probably one of the things, as you said, that people sort of at least are initially interested in what we're doing, because we do promote it a little bit. But I was first exposed to it through Quinn Henock, who is the clinical athlete who created the clinical athlete. But before that, he was working with Juggernaut Training Systems and helping out with them with their physical therapy or their physio, in their physio position. And he was helping Chad Wesley Smith return from a couple disc bulges. That was sort of where I got my first introduction. He also did a video explaining how like a prone leg raise, a supine leg raise, sorry, and how much pelvic orientation affects how much you can get your leg off the ground in like a straight leg raise. Uh-huh. And I remember I was like 20 at the time, and I remember watching that. I was like, holy shit. Why have I ever stretched a hamstring ever? Like, what is going on here? This guy's just cleared 40 degrees by holding a kettlebell up ahead in front of him. Mm-hmm. And that sort of, I was like, oh, there's all these other things. It's not just muscle length that affects positional or ability to get into positions. So Quinn Henock was the original introduction, but then going through the Cressy program, going through at IFAST with Bill Hartman specifically, and then a few other guys like Pat Davidson, Dr. Pat Davidson, has exposed me to some pretty cool things as well. So that's sort of like the stream of guys that I've learnt it from. I've done their foundational courses when they came over to Australia in 2016, I believe. And then we just apply it here, and we take what's useful in our population. We definitely don't promote the PRI can fix everything, but it is a cool concept. And once you learn the principles that underpin their methodologies, they're really applicable to strength training, which is the most important thing. And that's probably for anybody out there. Try and learn the principles of what people are trying to teach. The methods can be very quickly get into the dark place where you start spruiking and selling things that just aren't going to happen. But if you can learn the principles that underpin what is actually occurring with these sort of changes and these sort of adaptations, generally you're in a much better place to make some logical decision-making on the back end of it.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, I guess that's what I was going to say after you finished speaking, was like, you've obviously, you know, had exposure to these different ideologies presented by different people, and found a really good way of taking all those principles and formulating, you know, the Melbourne strength culture way, which now you're starting to turn into education, right? I really love that sort of principles-based approach. When I talk about my coach development program, it's split into three modules, and module one is understanding the principles. And the whole idea is that one of my gripes or beefs with the industry is the fact that, you know, your understanding of squat versus my understanding of the squat versus the ex-physio's understanding of a squat, if there's a disconnection there, then we can't have the same conversation, right?
Can't. Not at all.
So I was hoping you could, you know, maybe plug yourself a little bit and plug what you're doing with this coach development thing, because I believe you're up to about 20 coaches that have signed up now, right?
Yeah, we just had a Brazilian guy sign up, which is this morning. Yeah. Eduardo, thank you very much. welcome to the team. So, we're at 21, I think. So we originally started as an internship, just in-house. Again, I model what we're doing here off Cressy Sports Performance. Yeah. The internship that I undertook with them was full-time, and I don't think the size of our gym will ever get to a full-time intern position. But I wanted to recreate the experience that I had in some degree in America here in Australia. So we started with an in-house internship that we ran three times per year. We've done that for the past 2 years. We only ran it twice last year because I was in America with Will. But so 5 times we've run the in-house one. It was a 12-week internship, just a course, a structured learning for about 2 hours per week. And it got to a point at the end of last year where we had more mentor inquiries than we had just like gym membership inquiries. There's not too many places that run internships. There's not many that do it for free in-house and really push a lot of coaching experience on the back end of it. So there was definitely a few things, and why the online version I don't think will ever get to be able to scale to the size that the in-house one, or not the size, but in terms of like the amount of sheer volume of people that we were getting inquiring for it. But the Yeah, it just got to a point where it just was like, holy shit, I'm knocking back like 35 people here, 30 to 35 people per intake. Like, there's got to be a way I can help these people. There may be something else. And then obviously just the way the industry is progressing, it's going to this sort of like online focused sort of education systems. And there's a few of them popping up. So yourself, you've got one, JPS guys, the Muscle Nerds guys are really good. I think Luke Tullock, definitely in that conversation with some of the programs and things that he's set up for himself and his business. Hmm. So I saw it as a good opportunity to sort of like initially sort of get in that space and just put a little flag in that area for strength culture to obviously grow and develop as the business just grows. So we've transitioned from 5 in-house positions to just 2. So we have 2 guys coming in, which will be awesome for them. And they're going to do about 15 hours with us as well as the online course. And then the online course is just for whoever wants to come into it and go through it. It's 12 weeks of structured learning. Starts off with a little bit of personal finance, a little bit of personal sort of goal setting, understanding and community-based work just at the start and some business development stuff at the start. And then it's 10 weeks of just pretty much hard skill, strength coach-based stuff. Very principle-driven, understand the principles, and then let's just apply these into certain situations and certain context. Again, because we are very principally driven here. Mm. We do believe that is the way forward. Yeah.
I love how you've integrated the business and financial stuff in a practical way. Like, obviously I pay attention to what you're doing, and I know the books and the kind of things that you've been influenced by in that sense. And it's just stuff that you'll never learn in a PT course or from your dad, you know, unless your dad's advisor.
It's
the shit we miss out on, right? It's the life shit that we never learn.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, you can have the conversation, oh, they should have taught this shit at school. Like, why didn't they teach me tax at school? I don't understand that. But without a doubt, it's the biggest reason why PTs fail is, one, they don't know how to make enough money, as in their sales and marketing is just shit. Mm-hmm. Or they don't, once they've got the money, they don't know what to fucking do with it.
Yeah.
And they just piss it against the wall. They don't know that tax time's coming around. I'm going to get a $15,000 tax bill and I've got $1,400 in my account. What am I going to do with that? So it's just skill sets that I didn't know myself, and I've learned over the last 4 years by a complete need to learn it. I've got 4 people or 3 people now that rely on my ability to run a business. So it's things that have just built along the way, but I think it's a skill set that it's just a life skill set, understanding personal finance, understanding how to budget. And with technology now, if you can't really work out what your budget should be and like where you sit, like setting up a really easy spreadsheet it's quite simple to do, and you just plug in a few numbers and it just spits out some percentages for you to sort of work towards. It's a lot easier yeah. now than trying to, the envelope method of putting cash in an envelope, like that, those days are done. So
yeah, I'm always like perplexed by the idea of scalability with training businesses. It's like, you know, oh, I'm a personal trainer. Oh, I've got 45 clients. What do I do next? I know, I'll open a gym. It's like, whoa, ease up turbo.
Yeah. Ease up turbo.
Yeah. It's always interesting to watch people go through this evolution. And, you know, so many coaches you see kind of get to that point and then crash and burn and get fed up with it because they don't have that skill set, right?
Yeah, it is a completely different skill set. And you can make a lot of money as a PT in a good big gym that can funnel you somewhat of consistent leads. And if you've got your system set up, like there's no reason why you can't run a really good successful career through a gym. You don't need to own one. I don't think it needs to be put on a pedestal as a gold standard of becoming a coach or whatever. Like it's a completely different beast to wrestle having a physical location with a consistent need for business to walk through the door.
Uh-huh. Now, obviously you had like a bit of a personal interest in powerlifting, but by the sounds of it, your business was never like designed to be a powerlifting focus, but it seems to just keep ending up going that direction, right?
Yeah.
How do you find dealing with that? Like, you know, with your development course, for example, is there a powerlifting flavor, or are you keeping it generic strength training with a, you know, maybe underlying powerlifting flavor, squat, bench, deadlift thrown in there? Like, how are you dealing with that side of things?
So the gym was never set up to be a powerlifting specific gym. However, as you said, like it's just sort of gone that way. Our content is It's a niche that we do believe that we can have a pretty big impact on. So it's something that we're going to push towards and continue to go that route without a doubt. And we're just sort of like, we enjoy it. We do enjoy it. So it was never the idea initially. However, and I know you sort of ring true with this as well, is that powerlifting is nothing special. Like it's strength training geared towards three lifts specifically. Mm-hmm. And if you can understand fatigue management, you probably will be all right as a powerlifting coach. It's really not that hard to get people stronger. Obviously, like the more experienced people get and like you throw injuries and all that sort of stuff in, that's just a skill set that you'll develop along the way. But the actual skill set of being a powerlifting coach is nothing that special. You can really get away with just understanding strength training as a whole. So the way the mentorship, that is designed as more so just strength focused. And then I think we've got 1 week where we talk about special populations being powerlifting as mm-hmm. one specific thing. But anybody that's come to any of our like continued edge courses and all that sort of stuff, like our seminar based content, we're pretty open to the fact that like you need to understand these sort of like basic level things before you even start to talk about the application in powerlifting. Because really the application can be thrown into any sort of situation and context once you understand those key principles of fatigue management, sort of phase potentiation, understanding specificity and variability, and when you want to sort of swing in either direction with your training and all that sort of stuff. So if you can understand those sort of concepts, it can be applied to powerlifting very, very simply. So that's sort of the way the mentorship has been built, because that's the way the internship originally was. We're not a powerlifting gym. We're just a strength training gym that has a few powerlifters. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that now half our members are powerlifters instead of 25% of our members are powerlifters. So
Yeah. It's so interesting. I'm at the stage in my development course where a lot of people are going through the more intensive program writing side of things, right? And we have a strong powerlifting flavor, but then when we go into talking about application to sports or application to other strength sports, like strongman, for example, to unpowerlift people's way of thinking, is really interesting. It's like, people that have been programming for powerlifting for a while are so much like, how do you build lower body strength? Low bar squats. It's like, yeah, that's one way. How do you build upper body strength? Bench press.
Yeah.
It's one way. It's so interesting to see how you can take these principles and be so blinded by the sport that's directly in front of your face and having.
We call them goggles. You got powerlifting goggles on. Take them off. Like literally, just remove the three lifts from your vocabulary. Take the lens off, and now write a program.
Yeah,
can't use those lifts. Use anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I think by the sounds of it, you know, what you're going to do with people is going to be very valuable, because those principles, it's like the whole teach a man to fish kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be able to take that and apply it to a bunch of different people. And if people's focus is, oh, I am a powerlifting coach, guarantee you're not just going to get powerlifting. You're going to get a bunch of different people. And you're also going to have to alter your way of thinking when that person gets injured or wants to do a push-pull comp or wants to do bench only or wants to try strongman or wants to switch to another sport for a while, you know? And just for the sake of variability, if all of the only tools in your toolbox are squat, bench, deadlift, you're not going to go very far, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was going to actually ask you, because this is the big thing from our perspective down here in Melbourne, is that we are purely a powerlifting gym. And it's good when I can have these conversations and highlight to people that we actually do some other things here as well. And as I said, our in-house members are probably 50% powerlifters. The rest of them are just general population, a couple sporting athletes, a little bit of rehabilitation and all that sort of stuff. But what's your split at zero? Because obviously you are, I would say, far more powerlifting specific than we are. But in terms of your membership, are you guys still consistently like a high percentage powerlifters, or do you have a lot of just general strength as well?
I'd say it's probably percentage-wise more on the general strength thing. Like if you watch Will's videos when he posts something and it's the powerlifting night. It's like all the powerlifters are training at 4:30 on Monday doing big heavy squats. So it looks like, fuck, this is a powerlifting gym. Observe the people that are coming and training during the day. It's mostly just regular people.
Yeah.
Some of them play sports. Some of them are recreational powerlifters, but generally it's general strength, general health and fitness. I do quite a lot of rehab stuff. I work closely with a couple of therapists with referral streams down that path, and I love that stuff. I love having to think about other things and having to cater my way of thinking to consider this person's way of moving and all that sort of thing. I think where it gets cloudy is like the gym versus my business, because Zero is very much a powerlifting brand. You know, if the majority of my business falls under mentoring and online coaching, that would be predominantly very, very powerlifting. Whereas the gym itself caters towards a lot more, even though it's very much marketed, presented as a powerlifting gym. Yeah.
Powerlifting gym. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Makes a lot of sense.
It's kind of come full circle. When I started out, I really wanted to be the powerlifting gym. And I was like, well, hang on a second. After a year, I'm like, I've got no people. Why? Because there's just not enough
powerlifters. Yeah.
The powerlifters are already powerlifting. It's like you're marketing to the 10 people on the Gold Coast that are already at your gym. Okay, well, that's pointless. So it was very much like general strength, general health, sports performance, that sort of stuff. That made the gym grow really big. And now it's very much just like, hey, we're a powerlifting gym, but we do other stuff.
Yeah.
Because the gym isn't necessarily that much of a focus business-wise for me as much as the other stuff at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a weird evolution, I suppose.
It's going to happen with everything, though. It's going to evolve, and new information, new data, even just your own personal interests progress in any industry, not just our industry. The good thing with ours, it's quite dynamic and fluid, and you can actually shift your focus to different areas and learn new skill sets and all that sort of stuff. It is a cool industry to be part of in that sense, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously, you know, you're coaching Will into Pro Roll this year. Is this going to be your first time watching Pro Roll? Have you been in the Arnold's and watched it before?
I've been the last few years. I'll be actually coaching. Well, I'm obviously going to ask for your help again because I don't know how to wrap knees.
I'll gladly wrap the knee for you.
Thanks, man. I love that we flew you over to help us on the day because I have no idea about any of that sort of stuff. But
it was a blast.
Yeah, it was a good day that. I've been to Pro Raw previously. I think I've probably been the last 2 or 3 years. I remember it was funny. There was a year that I went. I don't know what year it was, but I literally had just walked in and Aaron Sim was deadlifting. And I filmed him and I said, take a look at this guy's arms when he stood up. And they just sort of like flopped around. And I was like, and I filmed him. And then like later in the day, I came back and I had never met Aaron and I never had met Will either. And I remember filming Will and I said, look at this guy's neck. Like they were two side by side stories on my Instagram. I wish I could go back and find them somehow. So funny. But a year later, Will sent me a friend request. I'm like, why the fuck is this guy sending me a friend request? And he's like, oh, I followed you some of your stuff. The PRI stuff again got Will and I together.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like really good friends with Will. I spent time with him overseas. I talked to Aaron regularly on social media and he spent some time with us when we did a seminar in Brisbane and drove us around and stuff. It was just a really funny situation that the two guys I filmed are like two, I would call mates now, pretty close mates. So it's a good little circle, but I've been to Pro a few times, but I will be coaching this year because I'm not actually an affiliated PA coach. Just with the way that I know there's a whole lot of this, that, whatever with the federations in Australia, but it's just for myself personally, I don't want to bucket myself as just a PA coach. My gym is heavily Powerlifting Australia. My other coaches are Powerlifting Australia affiliated coaches, but myself personally, I'm not. I don't coach our comp days. The other guys take them. So
yep.
I can do what I want. So I'm going to come in and be around the Pro Raw stuff this year, which I'm really looking forward to because I've never been able to go in behind the back and be around it. And yeah, and obviously it's cool because I'm helping one of the best lifters Australia has. So it's going to be a cool experience. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, man. I almost ousted you then if you were trying to do the sneaky behind the old
coaching
stuff. By the way, I highly encourage all coaches to do that. Anyway.
I don't want to get into it, but it's
don't.
it's weird.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. I hope you have a really fun experience. I mean, it's very much feels like a spectacle or a show rather than a competition. It's a very different way of doing powerlifting, but it's special in its own way. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's exactly what Will said. He feels like he's a performing seal out there rather than an actual competitive athlete. So, but it'll be cool. It's one of the biggest comps in the world and gets a big attention, a big crowd. John Hack's coming over, which will be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He may out total Will about 30 kilos lighter, which doesn't make any sense to me, but he's a monster. Yeah.
So obviously you went to the States last year and did a bunch of education with people like Dr. Pat Davidson and so on. Have you got any plans for education this year for yourself? Are you doing any more travels, any more seminars around the place that you're going to attend rather than present?
And stuff.
Change there on my microphone. Have I gone back to normal?
Yeah, I got you back.
All good. Yeah, sorry. In terms of my own stuff, in terms of learning for myself, I will be heading to Mexico with my girlfriend in August, September for 3 weeks. And we may go to New York. And if we go to New York, I'll probably look for something to do there. However, no big plans in terms of courses this year. Obviously, spending a big chunk of money with 6 weeks in America last year sort of...
Yeah.
A big enough investment for me for the time being to just be like, yeah, I can hold back a little bit now. But I'm probably looking more so to, I feel like I'll be getting a business mentor within the next 6 months. Somebody that can help me sort of get this thing to what I know it can be. I think I've done a decent job just by myself, sort of learning and fumbling and with the help of particularly my mother, who's built a couple of businesses in the past. But I think I'm at a point where I think some guidance now would really help me set this thing up to something that could be big in the future. So I'm myself personally, I think I'm shifting a little bit more towards like the business development sort of education stuff, rather than just more hard skill training systems and all that sort of thing. It's just sort of the way that my interests are going. As I said, it's a fluid position that I'm in, which is awesome. I just need to make sure that I'm continuing to progress this physical gym into something that it can be or something that I know it can be. So a little bit more focus for me is in that direction this year rather than training specific and learning more about the body and systems and all that sort of stuff.
No, that's really cool, man. That's really cool. And I have a humongous amount of respect for people like yourself and like Will, who are consistently seeking out further education in all facets of training and business. You know, I think it's really cool to be able to have that sort of security where you, you know, you can put ego aside and you can really focus on investing in yourself by drawing from the knowledge of other people. Like to be able to sit here and have a conversation about, you know, we're both doing coach development courses. Some people would look at that and be like, oh, well, the competitor's talking to us. I don't see anyone as competition. Like it's that scarcity mindset that seems to plague this industry.
It's just ego.
You know, hanging out with people like yourself and like you will that don't hold that mindset is always so refreshing.
Yeah, I say this to everybody that asks me about the Australian industry as a whole. There's pockets of really exciting people, and I definitely put yourself in there. Like we discussed some of them, like Will, the Nexus team, the JPS guys down here in Melbourne, the Muscle Nerds, Luke Tulloch. Like there's just pockets of these really cool things. Even like the Weekly Weights guys, like they're really cool as well. It's just an exciting time in Australian S&C. I call it S&C. It's not powerlifting. It is S&C. Our industry as a whole, I think, is starting to develop to what I saw in America about 4 or 5 years ago now, which is something that I really want this industry to become. And if we're all in here sort of holding our cards close to our chest and being protective of the very small niche of the industry as a whole that we have somewhat control over, it's not a good way for anybody to grow and develop. And ultimately, and this is probably my favorite, it's not a metaphor, it's a story, but imagine if you had two golf stores within maybe a kilometer of each other. The goal of both of the owners of the golf store should be every single member or every single person that comes into either of the golf stores to get that person as invested in golf as possible, to learn, to want to be in the sport, to be as consistent as possible, to be supported and all that sort of stuff. Because eventually that person is going to probably go to the other golf store and go and invest some money there and invest some time there and invest some resources into that store. And it's always going to be this fluid, like you don't get a client and they're your client for the next 50 years. Like members and people, they're always going to move around, and you can't hold that egotistical view of like, oh, it's us versus them, because it's just really not. It's, we should all be trying to work together to lift up the entire industry and get everybody as interested in what we're doing as possible, because ultimately that's success for everyone, and that is what we need as an industry, because it hasn't been like that for so long, and that's why our industry is so far behind what I believe the rest of the world is at. Grass is greener, maybe, I don't know, but that's just sort of what I feel in my
own. Ah, man, completely agree with you. That's fucking awesome. Hey, I know you're strapped for time, so I'm going to ask you the four questions that we ask every guest on the show, but we're definitely having you back on because we need to talk more nerdy stuff.
Yeah, we need to get some biomechanics.
Fuck yeah.
Shit.
So first question, what is your favorite lifting memory, either as a lifter or as a coach? Or both.
As a coach, not as a coach, as a viewer, was watching Pro Raw last year, Crozier go from 2 from 6 or whatever it was and come back and win. That is one of the best sporting moments I've ever seen. And the fact that like all the lights were off and all the lights were just shining on the whole thing was closed and all the security guards were like, get out. And everyone's like, yeah. Shut up. I'm not leaving. and then he pulled it. Yeah, that was... In terms of lifting, I think that's my favorite lifting moment that I've ever seen or been a part of. I have a memory of the first time I built a gym at home called Jim's Gym when I was about 16 years old. And I bought $280 worth of secondhand, like those blue plates with the really small hole in them. Yeah, yeah. And I remember the first time I did 5 sets of 5 with 60 kilos. And I had the squat sponge on the bar and I thought it was to protect my sternum. and dad was spotting me. I just remember it. I literally remember this day. And dad was spotting me and I was so pumped. I was 16. I hit 5 sets of 5 at 60 kilos. And I was like, it's working. I'm getting stronger. And all that. So that would probably be my personal one and the Crozier moment.
That's unreal.
At Pro Raw. Two ends of the spectrum of... Yep. This strength training progression.
Nah, it's that stuff that sticks with you forever. That's fucking special.
Yeah.
if you could have any dinner with anyone and prick their brains, they have to be alive, don't have to be strength related, it could be anyone, who would it be?
I would have The Rock. Uh-huh. Without a doubt. The Rock is probably my shining light of human potential. I just think he's unreal. Kevin Hart, without a
big
doubt.
Big wrestling
as well.
Fan?
I used to be, yeah, not anymore. No way anymore. Yeah. The Rock, Stone Cold, all the OGs there in that era. John Cena even. Rey Mysterio, Mr. 619.
Yes.
Yeah. Good time. Good time to be alive. Coming home from school, running from the bus and watching Monday Night Raw on I think it was a Tuesday at like 3:30, whatever it was. Stacey Keibler as well. Crazy.
Yeah.
The Rock would definitely be there. Kevin Hart, because I just think he's extremely funny, and the two of them together would be unreal.
Yeah.
And then I would say it would probably be some sort of physicist or some sort of maybe Neil deGrasse Tyson, someone like that.
Yeah. You were only allowed to pick one, so we're going to call it The Rock, but you can have the other two.
Sorry.
They can be the waiters, maybe.
They can be the waiters. Well, there you go. Sorry. The Rock.
That's all good.
The Rock's coming to dinner.
Okay. What's one piece of advice that you'd give a new lifter starting out besides get a coach?
As quickly as you can detach your brain from objective numbers, the better. Learn to feel what's occurring rather than look at the numbers progressing. Uh-huh. That's the biggest advice that we use down here with new guys coming in. It's not so much the number on the bar. It's more so the what is occurring in the process of your progression as a trainer. That would be probably, yeah. Remove the subjectivity,
yep,
and that emotional attachment to numbers as quickly as possible.
Sweet. And what's something that you used to believe firmly, something that you used to be willing to take to the grave with you that you've since changed your mind on?
It's not that I have completely changed my mind on it, but it's the importance of biomechanics in pain. I was again, through my upbringing as a coach and the people that influenced me originally, I learned a lot of stuff about biomechanics and how it can influence positions and different loading on different structures and all that sort of stuff. However, the last 2 years of my just personal learning and experience and absorbing different information from different people, I'm starting to realize very quickly that biomechanics is one very small piece of the pain puzzle. And pain is, that would probably be it. Just that biomechanics, it has an impact with pain, but it's not the be all and end all. I'm heavily swaying other way now, which is weird because I hang my hat on my understanding of biomechanics and my ability to look at things and improve positions and all that sort of stuff. But then sometimes with conversations with guys that are in pain, it's a completely different, it's almost like a psychological sort of biomechanical view. So looking at how their brain is perceiving situations and environments and all that sort of stuff. So it's a completely different, but that's sort of a big shift that is occurring with me and something I'm battling with every day to sort of understand where these two big rocks work together.
Mm. No, I love it, man. I think that's something I'd love to pick your brain more about next time we get you on. Awesome. Sweet, man. I'll let you go do your thing. Thank you
very much.
Time. Oh, before we
thank go, you for having me.
You got to tell everyone where they can find you.
Just the typical streams, j.smith.culture on Instagram for myself personally. And then all the gym stuff is just Melbourne Strength Culture. Search it wherever, Google, it will just come up. It's all on there.
Sick. Thank you so much again, man. Really appreciate you coming on, especially
no worries.
2 minutes notice. So
thank you very much.
We'll talk to you next time.